Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion, and by Hyundai. See what makes Elantra so nice. Check out its style, interior space, fuel economy, and popular features now.
Welcome to the fourth annual Autoline Automotive Fantasy Draft. I'm your host, Charlie Vogelheim. That's right, despite your protests, I'm back again. Partly because I heard it was going to be a classier event, I hope I didn't overdress, but mostly because I wanted to promote my new podcast, Motor Trend Audio. Yes, audio, for those of us that can't spell. As usual, we'll be broadcasting from two sites. The first is Draft Central here in Autoline main studio, where you can see our four team members are anxious to get going. But let's not forget, we also have the War Room, home of our award-winning color analysts, who are back once again as part of their probation. Let's welcome Scott Burgess from Motor Trend and Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press. How's it going, guys?
Just peachy, Charlie. Thanks very much. We've just been waiting for you to throw it to us with bated breath.
Yeah, it's another exciting night. The fourth annual Autoline Automotive Fantasy Draft. It's going to be a good one. We're really looking forward to this one.
And this, for everyone in the automotive press around the world, this is the night you've been waiting for. There is a microphone on Paul Eisenstein, and we can cut it off.
But it's a whole new set of questions and a whole new group that's going to be drafting the automotive executive. So we'll see who they play favorites for and who they don't like.
And there's some very interesting categories here, ways to ingratiate with yourself with powerful people, and even more important, offend them deeply in ways that will come back to haunt you for the rest of your career. So go for it, guys.
Yeah, you guys have a great time.
Well, thanks, guys. We really look forward to some thoughtful and insightful analysis from you guys. But if you don't have that, then at least what's on your mind, that'd be great. Hey, right now I'm so very excited because this is such a fun event. We've been doing it, as mentioned, 3 years. This is the fourth. Let's toss it over to Draft Central and let our team owners introduce themselves, talk a little bit about the team, and once again, they're all brand new. So let's begin right now.
Hi, I'm Gary Vasilash. I'm the editor of Automotive Design Production in my real life, and some of you may recognize me from being on the show. So for tonight, I am the owner of Basic Motors. Basic Motors is the car company for people who care more about their smartphones than they do about their cars, for people who are more likely to have a Zipcar membership and an Uber app on those phones rather than a car in their garage because they probably don't have a garage. These are people that want something that is not only tailored to their tastes, and their tastes are probably more IKEA than Broyhill, but they want the simple but sophisticated interface that they've come to be familiar with from their iPhones. So they're looking for something that they can perhaps buy, lease, borrow, steal, because that's probably more environmental than other alternatives. So with that, I'm looking forward to an aggressive evening with my colleagues, including Paul Eisenstein.
Well,
Paul, take it away.
To be as aggressive as possible. I'm Paul Eisenstein, publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com. And my team is the Motor City Mammoths. And yes, we are Mammoth. We are the gargantuan company that will replace some of those other firms as they go bankrupt, spending all of their money on recalls and other safety features, lawsuits. So all their executives go to jail. So we're going to take over. And we're going to be everything for everybody. We will have the right car so that we control and dominate the way a certain company used to many years ago, except we won't even let the Justice Department discuss breaking us up. Aaron?
Thank you, Paul. I'm Aaron Bragman. I am the Detroit Bureau Chief for Cars.com. My company is Ursus Motors. You know, as you could tell, I am not a slim, svelte kind of person, and I am really getting ticked off that the way we get around in this country is getting smaller. Airline seats are getting interminably small. Stadium seats, if you want to go to a sporting event, are extremely small. So Ursus Motors, Big Bear Motors, basically, is basically real cars, real trucks for real-sized Americans. Not this real Americans thing that Sarah Palin likes to espouse of this whole, you know, guns and crazy religion and whatnot. No, this is just basically good, solid Midwestern automobiles. Think of us basically as the Rochester Big and Tall or the Lane Bryant of the automotive world, and that's basically where we're going with Ursus Motors. Jeff?
Hi, I'm Jeff Sabatini with Car and Driver magazine. My company is called Automobiles Portlandia, and we started with this premise. My friends at TrueCar were telling me the other day that the auto industry spent about $3.9 billion last month on incentives. So we think we have a better idea than spending all that money on incentives. We are going to be the Groupon Overstock.com of the auto industry. We're going to find owners for all these cars that the auto manufacturers have built and continue to build that are all but unsaleable. So we have a lot of ideas for how to do this. One of the best ones that we've come up with and that we're going to share tonight is that we're going to team up with bike shops and or bars to give away the cars to people who buy beer and bikes. And so one of our dealer models is this bar bike shop in Portland, Oregon, which is kind of one of the inspirations for our company's name, called Velo Cult, where they actually have, it's a bike shop and a bar. We will have Spotify-style subscription plans. It's actually just a lease payment. We're going to also basically not build cars. We're just going to use the time-tested automotive practice of putting, you know, badges and stripes and tape, and we're basically going to ascribe to the philosophy from the Portlandia TV show, put a bird on it. Hence our logo.
Bird on it.
And I'm
like a screaming chicken decal on the hood.
Well, show my logo on the screen there, guys.
Was it a happy chicken?
See,
that's a flaming chicken.
There you go. It's actually canary.
Well, okay. That's yellow, yes.
It's a canary in the coal mine for the auto industry.
Was it raised well? Was it happy?
It's free range.
We should throw it back to Charlie.
I think Charlie needs to talk.
He should just start talking.
Okay, thanks, guys. As you can tell, they're all taking this very seriously this year. That said, there is some moments or nuggets of truth in everything that they say. See if you can recall what they are. Before we start, I want to say that, as in the past, this is a part of the show where I explain all the rules and what we're really doing. These are a lot of arcane rules that our psychotic producer has put together. This year, we're not going to do that. That's good news for all of you. You need to go online to autoline.tv if you want to see exactly what we're doing. Go to autoline.tv. You don't have to. You don't want to get away from this. But that's where all the rules and regs are. You can read everything there. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. And I want to remind everyone, all new owners, we're very excited about that, but also all new categories. We're going to have 7 different rounds coming up here. I will announce the category before the round. We'll start with a different owner every time, and that's more information than anyone was supposed to get. So that wraps up all the preliminary stuff. Let's get the show on the road. Always wanted to say that. And here we go. Round one of the 2014 Automotive Fantasy Draft. The first selection, a current business executive that is not working in the auto industry. Who would you hire? Let's begin with Basic Motors, Gary.
Okay, so my selection for the business executive who has no previous automotive experience would be Scott McNeely. Scott McNeely is the former co-founder and head of Sun Microsystems. Now, Scott was born in Columbus, Indiana, which we all know is the home of Cummins, which makes diesel engines, so he's got a little bit of horsepower in his background. And he was raised in Metro Detroit because it just so happened his dad was vice chair of American Motors. And most of all, because when Scott McNeely was running Sun, he came to the 2000 Convergence Telematics Conference in Detroit, and this was before anybody in Detroit could spell telematics. And he talked about how the car would become, and I quote, a Java browser with tires. So Scott now runs WAN, a social media company he founded in Denver. So he's clearly hooked up with the current communications methods. And Scott is also a hockey player, so he could kick some ass, which I think is ultimately ideal for an auto executive. So Scott McNeely. Paul.
We are Mammoth Motors. And if we're going to do that, we have to have somebody who understands how to take over the world. Now, we debated whether to go with one of two people. There was, of course, Larry Page, who is taking over the world, one internet browser by another, as the head of Google. But This is not a high-tech firm. We want to dominate. We want to own everything. And we want to sell everything. So who else would you go to but Jeff Bezos? Amazon. I mean, he sells everything. He can sell our cars online. And he'll figure a way to deliver them or deliver you to the dealership. I mean, Jeff Bezos is the ultimate choice for a mammoth company selling a lot of mammoth vehicles.
Hmm. Interesting. We're not so much worried about the sales guy for the external, someone who's not going to come up with a marketing plan. We have the marketing plan. We know what we're doing. We've got that. So my selection actually is a local guy, a gentleman named Paul Saginaw. He is the co-owner and founder of Zingerman's in Ann Arbor, the chain of really nice deli foods and bakeries and creamery and coffee roasters and everything. The interesting thing about this guy is that he and his partners have created an entire business based on something that's been called servant leadership. They weren't the ones to come up with that, but they've really employed it. And it shows in everything they do in how happy the employees are, how much they're paid, the health care that they have. And the idea of it is that your purpose is basically to serve the company, and you take care of your employees, the employees will be happy, they'll take care of your customers. And anyone who's ever been to Zingerman's or any one of them knows that it's kind of a special experience. Everyone that you talk to there, everyone that you interact with, they're always very helpful, very happy. I've never really had bad service going into any of their establishments. And we're going to use that kind of knowledge and expertise to work with our own personnel to create a lot of very happy, well-cared-for people, which will then translate into happy customers.
That's a great choice. That'd be great, too, if everybody was as wealthy as everybody in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, well, you know, eventually we'll all get there.
The rising tide lifts all boats. So my executive is Larry Bell from Bell's Brewery in Kalamazoo, Michigan, not because he's great at customer service or anything, but because he is someone who would cut off his nose to spite his face.
Is it a nose?
Sorry.
Nose joke?
No, that was... In 2006, when his beer distributor in Chicago decided that they were going to sell the rights to distribute Bell's beer in Chicago, which was Bell's largest market at the time, he said, you know what, I don't want you to sell these rights. And they said, you don't have any choice. We own the right to distribute your beer, and we're going to sell it. So he said, fine, I'm done shipping beer to Chicago. And it's that sort of attitude of just drawing a line in the sand. That's the kind of person that we want to work for our company, because we're not going to have a lot of leverage. We're not building our own cars. We're going to need people who are really able to negotiate by hook or by crook. Plus, we get Larry Bell on our team, free beer.
Free beer and bikes.
Goes pretty well with our sandwiches.
Maybe we should team up.
Well, that was a very exciting first round. As you can imagine, there's just been a buzz going all over the internet on all of your choices. But let's go to the war room and see what the local guys think about all of those. What do you say, guys?
Why is it the peace room?
Well, the excitement here is palpable as well. And before we get into critiquing the choices, and there is a lot to critique here, I have to give a quick shout-out to Jeff Sabatini for squeezing in the most product placement for other people's goods. I counted, let's see, Spotify, Groupon, and TrueCar, and at that point there were so many things that I don't use that I stopped writing them down. But I think we have to give a quick shout-out for that before we get into mocking the specific choices we made. And for the first of those, I think I'll hand it over to Scott.
Well, I really think that most of these companies will fail right outright with some of the choices that they're doing. I do like Eisenstein's Bezos pick, because you could actually do car delivery by drone, which is something that Bezos has already talked about doing.
He could put dealerships out of business, just like he has pushed local bookstores
out of
business.
You could also drop the cars on people and then resell the cars. McNeely, I think, was an interesting choice, too. You know, a Detroit native coming back. It could be really interesting. And he has a name that sounds like a hockey player. And really, I think that comes first when what you really want to have. Aaron picking somebody from Zingerman's. Surprise. I was shocked.
But I think that if America is looking for a $30,000 subcompact without air conditioning, Zingerman's would be the place to go for it.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. And Bell's Brewery, I defer to you as the beer expert on the table.
It's an excellent choice. I'm not sure exactly. I haven't understood yet what Jeff Sabatini's business plan is. I like the idea of mixing cars with alcohol, but most of that is illegal. And so you might run into some of the problems with that. So it's a tough sell for me, but it's a good idea.
Okay, and I was a little bit less persuaded by the two people from the world of internet than you. McNeely, having been associated with American Motors, we now know who will be number five in the Detroit Three, I suppose. Would that be the way to describe this company? And picking Bezos because you're not interested in new technology and the internet, which seemed to be what Paul was saying, I didn't entirely understand that either, although you are right about the drones. If people are annoyed by car salesmen now, just think how annoyed they're going to be when there are drones zipping through their backyard carrying cars.
For years, car companies have tried to be the... act like internet companies and do all of those different things. And they tend not to do it very well. I don't know if any of these game plans that we see set forth for these companies are really going to prosper. It'll be a tough sell.
No, they've got some work to do in the second round, I think.
Absolutely. But let me tell you, AutoLine After Hours is trending right now on Twitter. It's amazing. And if you haven't had a chance, you can go to chat about this directly on autoline.tv.
Product placement.
Back to you.
Charlie. Thank you. Hey, we're on to round two of the 2014 AutoLine draft. The first selection will be made by Mr. Paul Eisenstein. And interesting, a lot of the chat room participants are commenting on your choice of Jeff B., not about the drones, but the fact that he hasn't turned a profit. But if it's truly a Mammoth Motors, that could be part of your game plan. So with that, Paul, you're going to choose the current American elected or appointed politician that you would hire to work for your company.
Wait a second. Before we get into it, wait, just because you're big, you're supposed to also earn a profit. Is that part of this competition? I didn't realize that. You should have told me that beforehand.
Please don't discuss anything with the master of ceremonies during this.
Okay, I'll discuss with the producer. Well, I thought about it. You know, we were talking about negotiations and the like, and I was really giving a strong thought to hiring trade rep Michael Froman. He's the guy who does all the trade negotiations for the United States. But, of course, we all know that we have a huge national debt. I mean, we're like $300 trillion in debt or something like that to China. Basically, China's about to foreclose, much like happened on all the homes during the Depression. So I figured that wouldn't be good. So who is out there who really can just, you know, he's the sort of guy who you can put on TV and, for example, if I had a fire at my house, he could also come in and rescue me. And that's Cory Booker, the former mayor of Newark, who saved the neighbor's life one time and now is a senator from New Jersey. And we all know how good politicians are from New Jersey at making other people pay up.
Nice. For me, I think somebody that we could have that we would bring in to establish some legitimacy in the organization, someone who's an honest straight shooter, someone who looks out for the consumers, someone who can head up our Fair Deal Finance program, I think would be Senator Elizabeth Warren. Headed up the Consumer Protection Bureau. Not that it really went anywhere, unfortunately, because she was stymied a lot of places in trying to make things a little bit more equitable for consumers, for credit cards and whatnot. But she's a fireball. I mean, she's out there really making sure that people are trying to get a fair deal. And when we bring her in to do our Fair Deal Finance program, I think she'd be an excellent spokesperson.
Awesome. Maybe she'll even get elected president in 2016.
You never know, you know.
She's got to run first.
But she's got another job if she doesn't.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll still hire her even if
backup plan.
Yeah. So, well, Barack Obama is still on the board. He has so many Twitter followers. I think he would be awesome, but I'm not sure. See, I've also got my eyes on Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, and since I think the synergy with Larry Bell would be amazing in our executive leadership, but am I going to be able to? Can I pick him? Is that not count?
He's not a U.S. Toronto elected official. Yeah.
Canada, Toronto's not the most American city.
It almost was. We almost took it over
Canada
a couple
looks like
times.
One of our customers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton also on the board, but won't be back in office till Hillary wins in 2016, right?
That's very true.
So I'm going to go with Obama. Twitter followers.
Just for Twitter.
He has more than Ashton Kutcher.
Does he have more than Bieber?
I don't know, but
close. Got to be close.
All right, so my choice here, and this guy's got to get slack, is Al Gore. Now, he's not currently elected, nor is he currently appointed, but since he won the popular vote for the 2000 election, I think we got to cut him some slack.
I would give that.
And so the reason I pick Al Gore is because, you know, we heard the War Room was complaining about, you know, internet businesses not making it. Well, Al Gore invented the internet. So if anybody knows about the internet in terms of being able to do things with it, I mean, the man invented the whole damn thing. Now,
it's an astonishing
if that's a violation and I can't have Gore because he happens not to be in office at the moment, I'd pick Mike Honda. Now, I'm not making this up. So it turns out that Mike Honda is actually the representative to Congress from California's 17th district. Just so happens California's 17th district is Cupertino, Sunnyvale, and Santa Clara. Or, Mark, write this down, Apple, Yahoo, Internet, Google. Mike Honda's got them all. And he happens to be on the House Appropriations Committee, so it's a little good to have in your back pocket.
Is he going to have to change his name if he joins your car company?
No, I think that adds a certain something to it.
That might be confusing.
That's good.
I would have made Rob Ford change his name.
Mm. He'd refuse. But he might dodge that.
Wow, those are some absolutely terrific choices. I'm a little disappointed nobody picked as a spokesperson Joe Biden, but what are you going to do? What do you think, guys? Let's go to the War Room and find out.
Wow. Bunch of communists picking, making up all these teams out there, I can see. Some surprising picks. I was really shocked to see that Warren was selected because she is not going to help your business that much. She'll be great for the consumer, but the business, you're going to be seeing those profits go down a little bit.
Well, and it was interesting that Aaron, in his pitch for Warren, said that she was in charge of the Consumer Protection Agency initially, as she was before she became a senator, and that commission didn't really go anywhere. And I think that might become the motto for Ursus Motors, actually. They don't go anywhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that it was a... I think the Obama pick was actually a really good pick. You won a lot of Twitter followers.
And, you know, you've already got a guy who's proven that he can save an industry. It's difficult to argue with, you know, Obama if you want somebody to help an automaker get through tough times.
We do need to run a couple of corrections. The national debt is around $17 trillion, and that is not the same as a trade deficit, which is a couple hundred million dollars there, or billion dollars in the minus.
That would be a correction where we're not really sure of the numbers. A very special type of correction.
Yeah.
and I'm not sure if the eventual choice from Gary was Gore or Honda. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts on either of them?
Well, I think he's trying to pick both of them. And so what we can do is just disqualify his pick overall. I think that Al Gore is a horrible choice. I would have actually preferred to have seen Ford move forward, because I think that he'll get you a lot of publicity for your company. You'll always see your company logo up on TV. You'll always see, I mean, there's potential to really get the word out.
He's the most quotable executive since, what was that guy? Bob Lutz.
Oh, yeah. He's the next Lutz. The next Lutz without the knowledge or skill.
Yeah. And one other thing that we can't neglect giving Paul Eisenstein credit for, giving a shout out to his fellow Jersey boy, Cory Booker. And I think that, you know, if you want a bridge opened or closed, apparently New Jersey is the place to talk to a politician about. So I think if Booker can't make it running the car company, perhaps Department of Transportation.
He certainly has a shot at being governor. You know, so it's some very interesting choices, and I'm not sure who was missed. I guess Clinton doesn't qualify because neither of them now are elected officials.
That's a good point. For the first time in how many years, neither of them is an appointed or elected official.
And the country still goes on. It's amazing. But you could have Clinton in charge of your internship program. I mean, you would want to have that anyway.
Well, I think we've got a pretty good list here, nonetheless, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next round is going
to
bring
up. Yeah, back to you, guy.
Hey, well, you know what? The chat room comments are about you, Jeff, and the fact that you got Barack, beer, and bicycles. That's a nice alliteration to start things off. But you're not on the next round here. We're going to start instead. The third round will be choosing an existing current vehicle that you would wish to be your first release. So a car that's out there right now that you are hoping to have as your first release and hoping for a bullish choice from a bearish car company. Let's go to Aaron.
Oi. Now,
that was awesome.
That was yes, awesome. We'll call it awesome.
Oi.
I said oi. There was an oi-worthy moment. you know, our customers are not small people. They're big people. They like room. They like space. They want style. But we still need efficiency. We still need to get good gas mileage. We still need to have capabilities. That's why I am choosing for our flagship vehicle the Ram 1500 EcoDiesel. It's a pickup that's extremely popular. It has one of the nicest interiors of just about any American vehicle on the market. The EcoDiesel is extremely fuel efficient for what it is, for a large pickup truck. It's comfortable. The rear spring suspension actually rides extremely well for a pickup. It's well priced, made here, and well, some of it made here in America, some of them are made in Mexico, I do believe. But nah, we don't care about that, quite frankly. So that's our choice. We'd of course rename it the Grizzly, but I think that's what we're going to go for.
Nice. I could see driving one of those to Zingerman's.
Totally.
You know.
I think, but you're not to work big for your company.
Yeah, we may, yeah.
And it fits in with your strategy of selling expensive goods,
yes,
to wealthy people, because
yes,
the diesel costs how many thousands of dollars?
Well, the cool thing about this is that you could fill it with, you know, vegetable oil if you really wanted to.
Oh,
yeah,
and beer,
your own.
You guys could work together.
We could run it on Bio Willy, for God's sake.
That'd be great.
What do you got?
All right, so an existing vehicle. So, like I said, we're not building vehicles, so this plays right into our whole strategy. So we need to pick vehicles that automakers cannot get rid of, they cannot sell. So that narrows, you know, my choices. So we, initially I was like, Viper. But the problem with Viper is we don't want to give the wrong impression with our first vehicle. We don't want people to think we're like a sports car company. God forbid we become the Cheetah Motors of this year's draft. And we don't want to have a luxury car. We don't want to be like, oh, these are just for rich people. We don't want to be a one percenter company. So then we like, okay, well, Smart 4 too. There's no evidence that they've ever sold any of those in the United States. I think they're dumping them into the same landfill that Apple dumped all those unsold Lisa computers in Utah back in the 80s. So then we came up with the king of unsalability, the Acura ZDX. So we're going to, the first thing we're going to do is get rid of that alphanumeric, because that's what's holding that car back. We are instead going to call it the Zebra Dog Xylophone. And since it's a hatchback, you can fit your bike in it. And so that's the first product.
Room for beer. It's not a very good hatchback, though. I mean, you can't even fit people in the back.
Well, but we don't have to fit people in the back.
Oh, just
bikes
bike
and beer.
You,
okay.
So you could build in a your own keg in the back.
ZDX.
There you go.
With a bird on the...
With a bird on it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the bird beak of the Acura sort of, you know, it all works.
Yeah. I have to know, though, is the bird drunk?
Not yet.
No.
Or stoned.
Is that how they
No, call? That's Seattle, isn't it?
That would be Washington or Colorado.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm picking, since we established earlier on that Basic Motors is for people who really don't care much about cars, driving cars, owning cars, having anything to do with cars. So I'm picking the Googlemobile. That would be our first car. They've done all the heavy engineering, so I figure that would work out just fine. Now, I was a little afraid. I didn't know where I was going to pick in this round, so I thought that perhaps that would be gone by now. So if I can't get the Googlemobile, I want to get the current generation Mercedes S-Class, because it is as near to an autonomous vehicle as you can possibly get otherwise.
Absolutely.
However, in order to do that, I mean, we'd have to rip out the acres of leather and the acres of sumptuous carpeting. We'd have to get rid of the massage chair, the hot stone massage chair.
Well, you still have the perfume dispenser, though.
I might have to keep that.
Because
they're sharing cars, you'd have to have that spray because it'd smell bad otherwise.
The massage chair works for you guys. You know, I mean, real drivers don't want to be massaged when they're driving. That's for people who don't really like the fact that they're driving. They think they're in their living room.
Okay.
So you got to keep that.
All right.
So did you actually make a choice?
Google car.
Okay. Wait, what happened to the S-Class? I wanted the massaging seats.
Well, no one took the Google car, so we're taking the Google car.
Oh.
You can have the Google car.
Okay. Yeah, by all means, please.
Take
Well,
all
you see, we also like the S-Class just because it is mammoth. But I think to really put the face on the company, we would if it was out. And unfortunately, it's a few months early. We would pick the Mercedes Pullman. You know, $1 million, three rows of seats. you know, the front of the car arrives before the back is left where you were starting from. I mean, that would be the perfect car. But otherwise, we're going to go for mainstream. We're going to go right in the middle. And we're going to go, well, we debated which car we should go with. And appropriately, we should start with something that's extraordinarily high volume, right? I mean, we're mammoth. So we were thinking the Camry. But it's like, wait a second, now Camry wants to have a personality. What's that all about? You know? So we said, okay, if you want to have a personality, let's go with a real street fighter of a car, one that's going to dominate the world eventually. And that's going to, has to be the Hyundai Sonata.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, the Koreans are going to take over the world.
Because they're a sponsor of the show tonight?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I like Korean food, though. That does
help. I do,
help.
Too.
Korean food
is very nice, yes.
But no, I think the Sonata would be our car.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we're done with the kimchi talk, let's get on to the analysis. War Room, what do you say? Are you awake back there? Let's hear it.
Absolutely, and in fact, I think there are some very interesting choices this time. I went to the instant replay. I checked with the commissioner in New York on the instant replay, and I have to call Portlandia Motors out of bounds on the Acura ZDX. It sold so abysmally badly that they actually stopped making it last year. So that doesn't really qualify as a currently existing. That's true. There's probably, you know, still a 100-day supply at some Acura dealership near you. But there was also the problem that, you know, it was described as a hatchback, so you could put your bike in the back of it. It was a hatchback that had about enough room for perhaps a six-pack of the Bell's beer that your CEO will be purveying. So it would come in handy that way. But the ZDX, unfortunately, was, I think, too big a failure even for Portlandia Motors, which is not a concept that would have occurred to me before this moment. I like the fact that Paul has declared fealty to our benign Korean overlords. That was very generous. And I don't remember anybody ever describing a Sonata as a plucky little street fighter before. So that's an interesting new take on Hyundai, and it reminds me of one other thing that, speaking of Korean food, Paul and I still have not made it to the new Korean fried chicken place that we've been threatening to go to, so we should figure on that immediately after his car company goes out of business. So say next week?
Well, I looked through this list, and I think that we have four esteemed auto journalists picking these vehicles, and I wonder, do they hate cars? Do they just hate America? And, well, they might, because
there's a pickup.
We saw their political selections as well. But the Ram Diesel was the one that I thought was probably the best pick coming out of that. ZDX, that's just a joke. I mean, Jeff is a very funny person, and that car's the Google Mobile. What the hell is wrong with Gary? I mean, it's not even a car, and I don't think it's in production.
But he did sum up the appeal of the S-Class as saying that it has nearly as little personality as the Google Mobile.
Well,
that was a pretty good analysis.
One of the truths that Gary's company, Basics Motor, touches upon is most people don't really think about cars. They're not deeply involved in them. I think they only consider their car when they're looking for their keys. And
so would you revive Saturn? Is that your move here?
I don't know. Maybe one day I'll be out there selecting all of this stuff. But they're all very interesting choices. By volume, I think the Ram Diesel is the biggest one. And then next is the Sonata. Then next is the ZDX, which has outsold Google Mobile.
And the Cadillac ELR, by the way. Another one that would have been a great choice for a failing vehicle. As much as we all admire many things about it, good God, have they sold 300 yet?
No, but they're getting there. And that's what's important. It's about trying. The 300 that they did sell, they may be recalled at any moment, though, and that's one of the other things that we have to watch out for.
It's got push-button start.
Oh, good point. Excellent point.
No ignition key problems.
We should have brought that up, and what are the ignition key issues on any of these vehicles? Anyway, this was a very disappointing round for me.
I don't know, anything that gives me one last chance to make fun of the ZDX, which I thought was gone forever, I am grateful to the round for that, if for nothing else.
That's an excellent point. Charlie?
Well, thanks, Mark, for always finding the bright spot in any conversation. And now we want to lead forward to find out which social wars we're going to skewer in the next round. It's round four already. Jeff Sabatini from Automobiles Portlandia. Thanks to Tesla, you're going to have to choose the U.S. city where you will locate your flagship dealership. Jeff, it's over to you, and we just have to make sure you got clearance for the word Portlandia. My gosh, how did you come up with that? That's the only show that is watched even less than this one.
Well, yes, and I would like to thank you, Charlie, and our tens of viewers for letting me pick first in this round because obviously I would put my flagship dealership, which it's in Portland. But let me explain. There's a little bit of backstory to this that we need to know about my company, and this is my time to speak. So
I'm going to get comfy. All right.
So,
wake me?
I mean, okay. Part of this is what Gary's talking about. People just don't give a flying you-know-what about cars these days, and especially in a place like Portland. If you remember the way the show was introduced in the first season, Kerry Brownstein, one of the creators and the person who stars in most of the skits with Fred Armisen, the other creator, she describes Portland. She says, Portland's almost an alternative universe. It's like Gore 1 and the Bush administration never happened. In Portland, it's almost like cars don't exist. People ride bikes or double-decker bikes. They ride unicycles. They ride the tram. They ride skateboards. So these are our customers, and they're Gary's customers. And I think, unfortunately, they're not the auto industry's customers. And that's where, I think amidst all the jokes, there's some truth to what we're talking about here, which is the car companies need to figure out how to appeal to people who have lost interest in cars because of their interest in other things, cell phones, computers, TV, whatever. We did look at locating our flagship dealership in Vancouver, Washington, right across the river from Portland, because of the progressive cannabis policies in the state of Washington. We decided instead we would go a little bit further up I-5 to Vancouver, British Columbia. So see, my company is actually a Canadian company, and we're going to locate the actual corporate headquarters in Vancouver, British Columbia, so that all of our employees can avail themselves of free, high-quality, single-payer health care from the Canadian government.
Canadian car companies have traditionally done very well.
And now my time to speak is over. So I will
think about those wonderful country companies from Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Bricklin.
I will hand it to Gary, who and we should all probably hurry now because Scott's head is going to explode very soon.
I think I heard the pop.
Okay, so Basic Motors will have its premier dealership in Omaha, Nebraska. Why Omaha, you might be wondering. Well, again, we're all about connectivity, we're all about the internet, we're all about all of that stuff, and everybody thinks that everything is from the cloud, but actually there are numerous server farms all over the country. And one of the biggest server farms happens to be in Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is 16 miles away from Omaha, Nebraska. So Google's running the server farm there, so we have all these Google people who will avail themselves of the Google Mobile, which of course is our premier car. Now, there is another important aspect to why I picked Omaha, Nebraska. So as the regular viewers of Autoline After Hours know, we have concluded on this show that it is nearly impossible for there to be a startup car company that is at all successful. So my strategy is to have Basic Motors purchased by the person who runs Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha, Nebraska, Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett will buy my company, I will retire rich, and it'll all be good. Paul?
I think I like your strategy. Who wants to build cars? I just want to be rich. Wow. Well, we are Mammoth Motors, Motor City Mammoths, however you want to call it, and where else can we have our flagship showroom? As much as we'd like to do it in New York or L.A., you know, the two biggest cities in the country, even Chicago, it has to be Detroit. And that's a good thing because except for a few pockets of downtown where property is actually going for some money. The fact is we can buy up 3/4 of the city and turn it into the world's largest dealership. We will own entire neighborhoods. You'll be able to go in, since we will have such a product line, we will have division after division.
Look at that lovely showroom.
Yeah, we are going to have the world's largest showroom, and it's going to be known as the City of Detroit.
Ah, okay.
So you could actually test drive your car without actually leaving the dealership.
Exactly. Right. You need a license for that. You can drive on the property.
You know, we will offer
as a Pullman.
We will offer numerous, you know, depending on what part of the showroom. If you come from certain bad neighborhood parts of the showroom, you can test our armored vehicles.
Mm.
other parts downtown. You'll have, you know, sort of cars like this. A Google Mobile.
Look at that.
We can do that downtown.
Lovely showroom that is.
That's awesome.
I mean, the art alone is.
You wait,
know,
you
is
have a
Banksy?
Problem? You have a Banksy problem with art. That? That's our main office.
You know, Detroit is great, but we are going to be putting Ursus Motors flagship dealership in Schaumburg, Illinois, suburban Chicago. Now, it's not going to be just a dealership. First of all,
big hair.
Chicago itself, the whole area, Chicago is a great, wonderful city. It's got a lot of big city values, but it's also got a lot of Midwestern values. It's not, you know, stuck up and rude like New York. It's not fake and annoying like Los Angeles. This is true heartland people. And locating it in Schaumburg makes it central to everywhere that we want to be selling to. You know, everyone in Illinois, everyone in Iowa, even as far away as Omaha if they don't want to go to Omaha. We are going to have something similar to Autostadt, if you're familiar with Autostadt in Wolfsburg that Volkswagen has. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be an enormous dealership. You can buy your car there. You can collect your car there. You could ride the roller coaster. You could see the factory tour. You could eat at the only In-N-Out Burger east of the Mississippi River. You could test your tire changing time with our NASCAR pit crew. I mean, it's going to be, I think, really quite a destination experience. Charlie?
Well, that is just fantastic. And, you know, again, great choices that I'm sure the War Room is going to agree with. What do you say, guys?
Wow, absolutely. There's some fine dealerships. I like the idea of setting up dealerships at old country buffets, like Aaron was suggesting, for, you know, the extra large American. I mean, you'll find them there. The one question I really have coming out of this is, where the hell is Jeff locating his place? It was never really clear. It sounded like it was going to be in Portland. Then he was driving around on I-5 and went past Seattle. And then he was going up. And
for a while, it was a homer pick in Portland. But then he spent a while insulting Portland. And I think you're right. I think he eventually left the country just ahead of an angry mob.
Yeah, and there was a whole plug on free health care. I'm not sure. Omaha, it's very interesting that Gary already has an exit strategy. You know,
you read that on my notes, didn't you?
No, but it's one where I think that's an interesting point that you want to. That really shows you that he's a high tech kind of company that we're just going to get an IPO, shoot the stock price up, have Warren Buffett
buy it. And like so many auto executives in the past, he is looking out for number one, and that's him.
Yeah. If the customers don't care about cars, why should Gary care about the customers? I mean, it makes absolute sense.
Absolutely.
Paul was kind of stuck with Detroit. If I would have been somebody going before him, I would have picked Detroit because then he would not be Motor City Mammoths. I mean, he had to pick it. The dealership idea is fantastic. The fact that you could have it on 80 square blocks and all of that property is available.
The entire Packard plant could be a service bay.
44 acres.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just a great idea, Paul. And I'm not sure where we're getting these photos, but there's some classy shots of Detroit. And look, free tires. I mean, it'll work for everybody.
Yes. Buy a car, get a tire swing. Yes.
You know, and Chicago is also, I mean, I think that's a really good pick. It's a great city. You could have deep dish pizza in a car. You could have, drive to the Wiener Circle. I would have a Wiener Circle in there,
Any car that you're in is a Wiener Circle.
That's true for Aaron's cars.
Yes. And I give Aaron credit for making Schaumburg, Illinois sound like something out of a Coen Brothers movie. There was an undercurrent of menace just below all of that, you know, urban, you know, tranquility that he was describing. I think something is very rotten in Schaumburg, Illinois.
That's not Wayne's World, right?
Hey, where was it?
It was somewhere else in Illinois. Yeah. Well, I really don't have anything else to add, Mark.
No, I think that we have found ways to offend people in one other country and three generally well-liked municipalities. I think it's time to move on.
Charlie?
You know, though, for those of you math majors at home keeping count, that was our fourth selection out of seven. That means we're just over halfway through. We're going to take a break and hear from our good friends at Bridgestone. But don't you go anywhere, and not even to Aurora, Illinois, to find out what's going on in Wayne's
that's
World.
It.
We'll see ya.
There's only one car company in America that's never made a single car. And while you won't find Firestone cars on any showroom floor, they're out there, running better, faster, stronger, longer. No, we don't build cars. But make no mistake, Firestone is a car company. So whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
We're going to excise those.
Well, there
Whoa.
We go.
Whoa!
Where was I? Well, I was just wandering off. Hey, just so you know, we're more than halfway through. We just want to get going on this. We want to make sure everyone speeds up just a little bit. Like the World Cup, the score is 0-0. But unlike the World Cup, we don't have referees to add extra time. So we want to try and get all this in. So we're going to start again with Gary. And this is the round, Gary. We're going to ask you what signature feature to separate you from the competition. What signature feature on your vehicle, and who would you hire to develop it?
Okay, so again, since we've established that it isn't really about the car and it's about what the car can do for you, the person that I would hire is probably the smartest guy who ever worked for General Motors, which was Larry Burns. Larry Burns was the former vice president of R&D at General Motors. And so Larry and his team came up with this idea where they'd have a fuel cell vehicle, and it would be a skateboard, which would be 11 inches wide, and you'd have the tires hanging on it. And so basically, you could put whatever you wanted on top of it.
That Larry Burns?
So,
nope.
That's our signature feature, and that's our executive, Larry Burns skateboard.
Well, I think what Mammoth Motors has to do is what everybody would do at one time. It's got to be the car that can do everything. And so our car will be affordable, high performance, extraordinary mileage, and clean, all in one.
But what's your signature feature?
Who's your
That's it.
Who's your executive?
It's going to be the ultimate machine.
You had to hire somebody.
Who will develop it?
Oh, who would develop it?
Like a company or not. So basically, we had a couple of ideas. One was the Pacifier rear seat entertainment system by LG, which is an enormous 180-degree OLED flexible screen that slides down for the rear seat entertainment to keep the children's pacified. The other one was OnScreen by Google, but Gary's apparently got Google all wrapped up, and where you project everything onto the entire windshield, where, you know, basically like Star Trek, you say OnScreen, and pff, there it's OnScreen. But we're going to go with our third option, which is called Chef Engine by Weber Grills. It's basically these flat plates that you'll attach to the top of the engine that you can wrap up a nice steak or something like that, and you put it on the engine. It's got a little meat thermometer probe that you put in there that displays in the heads-up display, so you know exactly how long it takes and how far you have to go before your cut of steak is nicely cooked.
You're totally missing your market here.
Oh, not at all.
No, you're missing it, because what you need is not just that, but you need a scoop so you can also pick up and cook roadkill.
Well, we have slightly better standards with our Zingerman's executive than roadkill.
Wait. What's wrong with roadkill?
What do you think?
I'm going to end this discussion by telling you about, there's a company called ELP Japan, which makes a laser stylus turntable. So this is a record player that, instead of having a stylus that rides in the grooves, it sees the grooves with a laser. Now, in the 50s, Chrysler tried to introduce an in-car record player. It didn't work well because it kept skipping. The technology is there for us to put this into a modern vehicle so you can play your vinyl in your vehicle. And the beautiful thing is there will be no skips. And now, the one problem is ELP sells these for $15,000. Mm-hmm. But we are going to build a gigafactory, and we're sure the price will come down to almost nothing. And boom, there's our feature.
Will you also have vinyl seats and vinyl roofs?
No.
Well, you're basically putting a CD player in your car.
No, record player.
Well, Laserdisc.
It will not play CDs, but it will not play Laserdiscs.
It's the same principle.
It will only play vinyl records.
So what about the, why not vinyl seats?
We're not talking about vinyl seats. We're talking about the feature.
Gary, your turn. Or you went first.
I went first. I'm done.
Back to you, Charlie.
Yes. Charlie,
we went fast. He wasn't even ready for it.
I'm going to remind you to limit your questions with this group right here, just for the lack of, in the interest of time. Aaron, I thought that was a very brave move. I've just, after that incident in Roswell, I vowed that never to enter a vehicle that had a probe ever again. let's go to the war room and see what they thought about all that.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, we've got demerits that we're passing out wholesale here. Gary Vasilash was the only one who actually named who was going to develop his vehicle, and he named Larry Burns a
very gifted scientist and nicely drawn cartoon character. And the skateboard vehicle, which, as well as having been a great idea, had the benefit of clearly not fitting any of the people who would be Ursa's automobile's target market, because it's only 11 inches wide. So those two will be able to collaborate later on down the line. What do you think?
I was really impressed with how new the technology is that these guys are wanting to do, and shows you how they're really looking into the future. We have an oven and a record player and everything. And so it's one where I think that they could have taken a little more time to develop some answers that would have been more plausible.
Or answers.
Or absolutely, because they all forgot their designers to go along with it. But I know we're supposed to be speeding this up, so back to you, Charlie.
Okay, so now we're all the way off to round six. Now, as a California guy, I'm very excited about this because it's all about the summer blockbuster. We're going to start with Paul Eisenstein. And, Paul, what you need to do is begin with which summer blockbuster movie will your marketing department want a tie-in with? Doesn't have to be 2014, any summer blockbuster. Let's hear it, Paul.
It has to be Star Wars. We rule the universe. We're not just going to be Mammoth Motors here in the U.S. We will rule the universe with Star Wars.
You know, there couldn't be a more quintessentially American movie than Red Dawn. And instead of Jed driving...
The remake.
The original. The remake was crap. The original with Patrick Swayze and I know everybody who eventually began, in Charlie Sheen even. But instead of Jed driving off, you know, escaping town in a Chevy C1500, he's going to do it in basically our Ram EcoDiesel, the Ursus Grizzly.
I like those choices, both of them. Obviously, we're looking at a demographic that remembers the 80s. So we decided to go to the auteur genius of the 80s sci-fi action film, John Carpenter. The big trouble we had was narrowing his canon. Big Trouble in Little China, his best film, might be deemed racially insensitive today and would hamper our negotiations with the Asian automakers. We thought about Christine, but the killer car thing might not play well. So then we thought, the Halloween franchise, from a franchise perspective, but it's also a little bit dark, so we know. So we finally came to Escape from New York. Kurt Russell, Snake Plissken as our spokesperson. How could you not want that? And we think that the urban environment of that film would really resonate with our buyers.
Tying with Paul's dealership.
No,
that's Detroit. They haven't made Escape from Detroit yet.
They should.
So my blockbuster is Inception, the 2010 film made by Christopher Nolan. Now, Nolan is perhaps better known for his work in the Batman trilogy, Batman Begins, which had the Tumbler, which is better known as the Batmobile. It also had the Batpod, Batcycle, in the Dark Knight. There was Batwing, Batplane. But I'm going with Inception because no one knows what that movie's about. And so people who are part of Basic Motors demographic, they'd be the sort of people who would understand what Inception's about, and therefore they'd be down with that film.
Are they going to be as puzzled about cars as they are about what happened in Inception?
Is that no, they would know what happens in Inception, and they don't care about cars.
Is your commercial going to be a van that falls into the river backwards?
It would be a dream.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm.
Well, I don't know, guys. You know, I had my money riding on you, Aaron, with The Hunger Games. It just seemed like the grill was a natural tie-in there.
Why didn't you think of that one?
But I just want to remind everyone, this is not an opportunity to gamble.
For the grand
so
boot.
Please keep that in mind. Mark and Scott, put your money away and let's hear what you have to say.
Wow, I like all the picks, actually. I think that this was a really interesting set. Red Dawn, you just can't go wrong with. Avenge me! Avenge me!
And the fact that Aaron has given enough thought to the Red Dawn franchise to have a favorite version.
Oh, the 80s version. There's no doubt. The recent one was horrible. But Jeff was incorrect. Escape from Detroit started in the 50s. And it's continuing ever since then. So
There has been a revolving door.
Yes.
But nobody coming back through it, unfortunately. And I have to say, Escape from New York, wonderful movie. Does anybody but Jeff Sabatini think that Big Trouble in Little China was John Carpenter's finest film, though?
I mean, it was not. Inception was one where I could see where Gary's going with it. It's intriguing in a dream within a dream within a dream within a dream, which is Warren Buffett buying your company.
And I don't understand his car company. I didn't understand Inception, so I think that it's perfectly consistent.
Well, and I think he has to spin a top at the end of each day. And if the top falls, he can go home.
Which leaves us with Star Wars, the one film that we all liked and understood. So I would call Paul Eisenstein the winner of this one.
Absolutely. Star Wars is the best pick. I mean, you can't go wrong. It's generational. And now they have, what, like 14 more coming out? At least.
Yep.
Back to you, Charlie.
You're absolutely right, guys. There'll be as many Star Wars as there are Mammoth Motor models, so don't think that was easy to say. Well, that was fun, and let's take a look. I mean, we're going to take our final break now, and it will be from our friends at at Hyundai. And we'll be right back for our final category. Don't go anywhere, because I'm not allowed to either.
Nice. Not nice.
The new Elantra from Hyundai. Nice.
You already know that you can listen to Autoline's Industry Insight in places like YouTube and Stitcher, but did you know that you can also listen to it live in your car? It's simple. Just pair your smartphone with your vehicle's Bluetooth connection or plug into the aux jack. Then navigate to Autoline.tv using your phone's browser. Find the show you want to hear and click play, just like you would on your computer.
This is Autoline After Hours with John McElroy.
It's that easy. Never be disconnected from Autoline's top-notch insider information with Autoline on the go.
So who was that guy? I'd like to meet him one day. Maybe I will. Hey, here we are, our seventh, and that means our final round. And this evening, our good friend Aaron Bragman from Ursus Motor leads off again. You ready, Aaron?
I am
this
ready.
This is your final choice. The team owners, wait, let me describe it. I know you're excited.
All right, yeah.
But you're going to be selecting a current auto executive, a current one that you would, as they say, would offer to pursue new opportunities. Show them the door, hit the street. You no longer work here, down the road. Aaron, who would you give the Ziggy to?
This is going to probably get me disinvited from every Volkswagen group night from now until forever. But I would have to show the door to the supervisory board chairman, Ferdinand Piëch, who ironically is being inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame tonight, apparently, from what I understand. But just nobody at my company is going to have a bigger ego than I have. And that is just not going to fly with me. Plus, wasting money on things like W12 motors and Bugatti and the Phaeton, while the Volkswagen lineup in the U.S. is faltering and China is starting to be eaten up by a lot of other automakers, he's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to go.
So when I was given this question, it's said, from the universe of recent and current auto executives.
Yes.
But still, I just didn't really understand the question because it just seemed sort of mean-spirited and not nice. And since I'm usually mean-spirited and not nice enough without doing it on streaming on the internet, I just decided that I was going to stretch the definition of recent, and I'm going to fire Henry Ford because he was an anti-Semite.
I can concur with that.
I can't argue with that. I mean, you got
all
a
right.
bunch of votes here.
All right, so I'm going to fire Tesla CEO Elon Musk. So although the man has brought exceedingly clever technology to the auto industry, he's nothing if not a live wire. So, okay, by hiring him, now I need the Warren Buffett money to hire the guy, quite clearly. And firing him, Basic Motors would get more ink than any company could possibly get. So this is all part of my strategy whereby we'd have tremendous visibility and it would just be headline material all the time.
Hmm. Well, if you're looking at current executives that would be fired, I was thinking about, say, Jim Farley, except Mark Fields is doing that one cut at a time, you know?
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, just because Jim can take that, he'll always wind up somewhere else and he'll still do a great job, but you know, but actually, I got to tell you, it is, Charlie, I'm sorry, but it is recent as well as current.
It is.
And there's anybody in this town would not enjoy firing more, was that a triple negative, than Bob Nardelli. I mean, Bob Nardelli, you know, you remember the movie Airplane,
There was one character who was having going crazy, and everybody was punching him out.
It was a woman, actually.
But yeah, it was a woman. That's right. Can you see Bob Nardelli in that role right now? He could just walk down Woodward Avenue. Exactly. Everybody would stop, park their car, and just slap him. So, Bob Nardelli, you're fired.
Ooh. Does that make you Donald Trump?
Wow, that was very interesting and truly showing your sensitive sides, guys. I really appreciate that. And for those of you at home that are wondering why I wasn't picked by anyone, I didn't qualify because it wasn't proven that I actually am employed currently. So let's go to the war room because I know we've got comments from the guys back there that are gainfully employed.
I think I'm going to hear it about far away.
Well, in the spirit of the game, I went ahead and fired Mark Phelan.
Not so fast, sucker. Better men than you have tried and failed to fire me. And I'm going to hijack this segment and say that, first of all, we have a couple of people who picked executives that don't qualify. The objective here is to be mean to existing people. So I'm sorry, Sabatini, for picking the really strange time that he decides, now I'm going to try to be a nice guy, and then going after a dead guy and insulting all of his descendants by extension. You're off the list for this one. Eisenstein, I'm sorry, the same thing for Nardelli. I mean, there would be a long line of people, I think, around Detroit if the opportunity existed to fire him, but he is already gone and not at all missed. You want to pick it up from there?
I thought that Elon Musk, brilliant man, we'll certainly give you cause to fire him on any day.
You'd love to fire him, wouldn't you? Really? Yeah.
And I thought Aaron's choice was pretty savvy, too. The man so powerful, above reproach. But he does like to kind of mess around with the company, and he always has pet projects going on.
But the problem is, if you brought Piak in, he would build such a house of cards that as soon as you fired him, the whole thing would collapse. That's what's going on at Volkswagen now. They're looking at what he has wrought and saying, what do we do after Ferdinand retires?
Well,
And by the way, congratulations on your induction into the Automotive Hall of Fame, Mr. Piak. And most shockingly of all, nobody picked, say it with me, people on the internet, Mike Milliken, GM General Counsel. I mean, Congress would vote you an ambassador if you fired him, but no.
Yeah, there's already been a bunch of people already fired that you could easily have put on the list and not offended anybody and done it that way. But I don't think that Henry Ford is going to be upset over Sabatini's pick. He's dead. And I don't think Nardelli will because he's sitting he's on a giant mattress of money that he got for the time that he was at Chrysler. So,
and the point of this segment was to offend somebody, I believe.
That was really the point. It was also a sneaky way to make trick John McElroy into not participating into this event. And so
sneaky but effective.
It did. It worked. And so that was one of the things that we were trying to do. And I think now we're supposed to kind of...
Time to declare winners.
Look at the overall set of picks. And who do you think did the best?
Oh, I have to say, I think Ursus Motors, overall, they had a consistent vision, which was we are going to fatten them up and lead them to slaughter. These are our customers, and we are going to take full advantage of them. And it is a growing market.
Yeah, and, you know, the only thing I would have done is I would have had all my cars run on corn, just like my customers. And,
there you go.
And I think that that's a motto that they could really use to kind of, they're one and the same. It's being at one. You eat some corn, you put the corn in the car. Eat some corn, put some corn ethanol in the car. And so I think that there's some real potential for some of that.
And some really unpleasant visual possibilities.
Gary, I also thought, did really well. The problem I had with his overall strategy was his total disdain for customers. And the fact that
that's been done and actually has been quite successful in some cases.
Well, we see that in some current car companies that they want to decontent vehicles to the point of insulting. It's like the way the airline industry treats the economy class. Paul also offered some interesting choice, and he was less wordy with much of his answers, and I really appreciated that as well.
And Jeff Bezos, and again, one Jersey boy to another for Cory Booker, you got to recognize that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeff Sabatini, it was I'm not sure about the overall strategy of selling cars that you that no one wants. But it's an interesting idea.
It worked for years for Chrysler.
Yeah, and it almost worked for Fisker. And,
there you go.
You know, so there's always, but somebody ultimately wants them. I guess, you know, are you pulling them for rental fleets or what you're doing? I was impressed with the way all of the leaders of these teams were able to avoid some answers and work right around it and not actually give an answer. And I thought that that they could work PR for a number of companies.
Yeah, except that's what the referees in the war room are for.
Well, we're supposed to call them out.
Call
as
them
much as we
out
can.
Of bounds. Yep.
So I don't know. Are we supposed to pick a final winner tonight?
I picked mine. I don't know if you were here or not.
I fully supported Aaron Bragman. Winner.
There we go. Ursus Motors takes the prize.
That's it. Take the camera off us.
Did somebody say winner? Well, thank you.
Is that for me? Is that for me now?
I had to give it back. Oh, jeez. Oh.
I think that's John's.
Okay. Oh, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for spending the evening with us. That wraps up our fourth annual Fantasy Autoline Fantasy Draft. No. Big thank you to our team owners, to Gary and Paul and Aaron and Jeff. You guys did great. You won't be invited to very many events later on. And a big thanks to our Roar Room. There they are. They're going to be taking your place as they backpedaled their way into the good favor of all the automakers that you guys insulted. I'm Charlie Vogelheim, once again, always looking for an opportunity to improve the auto industry by attending a hospitality suite. That's what I do, and I'm darn good at it. Thank you for listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next year.
Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion, and by Hyundai. See what makes Elantra so nice. Check out its style, interior space, fuel economy, and popular features now.